Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, we give you thanks and praise and honor and glory. We thank you for this day that you have made, for your love and kindness and for your tender mercies. Lord God, you're truly God. There is none like you and there is none but you. And there's so much going on that will be lifted up in prayers today, Lord God. You know all that is we are going through. God, in the name of Jesus, be with us. Be with our servicemen and women in Afghanistan. Be with them, Lord God. And for those who bodies that are coming home, God, we pray for their family, their parents, God, and we pray for the nation. Have mercy. Lord God, we pray for the people of New Orleans, God Almighty, of Louisiana. Have mercy, Lord God. We pray for California where the fires are. God, have mercy. We pray for those who are getting the Delta variant, Lord God, and for all of us, have mercy. And as we gather here, Lord God, as a church, we come, God, because we want to worship you. We desire to worship you, Lord God. We come and taste and see that you're good, that in the midst of all that seems wrong, you're still God and you're still good because many of us are still doing well. We thank you, Lord God. And so speak now for us who are here, those who are online. Speak, Lord God, and give us a word of hope, a word of peace. Remind us that you love us and that you promise, Lord Jesus, that you will be with us even until the end of the ages. Be with us, Lord God. In Christ's name we pray. Lord God, and let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, God, for you are our everything that is good and perfect. Amen.
Amen.
And so, my sermon title today is, It is More Than Tradition and Ritual. And I'll tell you when to move up the slides, my dear assistant. It is more than tradition and ritual. Tradition, according to the Webster Dictionary, tradition is the handing down of information, beliefs, and customs by word of mouth or by example from one generation to another without written instructions. Or with or without written instructions, tradition. We all have tradition, don't we? For example, when should Christmas presents be opened? Christmas Eve or Christmas Day? Right? And then it becomes a tradition in your family or in your household, right? Because we pass it down. My grandparents used to open the Christmas gift at this day, whoever, you know, and so on. It becomes a tradition. Ritual is a religious or solemn ceremony consisting of a series of actions performed according to a prescribed order, right? A ritual. Now, tradition and ritual are not necessarily bad, but it's when they get in the way. In many cases, in what we call religion or religious things is steeped in tradition and ritual. So much so that religion leaves no room for faith or a personal relationship with God. One writer states, religion does not equal faith. One can love religion like anything else in life, sports, science, stamp collecting. One can love it for its own sake without a relationship to God or the world or life, wrote an Orthodox theologian. Religion fascinates. It is entertaining. It has everything that is sought after by a certain type of person. Aesthetics, mystery, the sacred, a feeling of one's importance and exclusive depth, etc. That kind of religion is not necessarily faith. And we know what happens in the church. Looking for byproducts, the writer says. Sometimes people come to us and want to receive only the byproducts of the Christian church. They have no intention of assimilating. Has nothing to do about relationship. I have had it here where people have come and they say to you, they give you a long story and they tell you in 1965 their grandmother came to this church and they want to baptize their baby. Or there's a grandchild, great-grandchild, whatever, and you say yes. Yeah, after you talk with them and try to explain and bring them through, you say yes. You know, after I always meet with them and give them and encourage them to be at church. And you say yes, and guess what happens? The baby is baptized and you never see them again. Never hear from them, never see them. It's all about the tradition. It has no relation to assimilating with the church or becoming part of this local congregation. Do you see what I'm saying? It is all about that. This assimilation, it's not about the assimilation, it's all about the tradition and it's all about the ritual, right? There are people who come to get baptism done and they barely leave, and I'm going to go there, they barely leave the church a gift because the church's expenses and the church's need to be church is not important to them. Yet they will leave, and after service, they will go to the most expensive restaurant and have a great meal. You see, they'll come and they'll do, and the church gets nothing. To be able to continue in its work, the emphasis has to be on understanding that we who are Christians are called to maintain Christ's church. During the time when Jesus walked the earth, there were several religious groups. So let's not think that we are the only ones who go through this and Jesus had a problem with them. One of the first groups, I'm going to give you four main ones, the Sadducees. You could go to the slide, Susan, the Sadducees. The Sadducees were an aristocratic priestly class of Jews, influential in the temple and the Sanhedrin. They generally represented the conservative view within Judaism. So you had the Sadducees who were the priestly, right, ones. Then the next group of religious folks that Jesus would encounter are the Pharisees. The Pharisees were the largest of the Jewish sects. They, the members of that party believed in resurrection and in following legal traditions that were ascribed not to the Bible, but to the traditions of the fathers. So they really did not look at the Torah and the Bible to follow the traditions. They looked at what? The traditions of the father. And that's why Jesus is going to run into trouble with them. And then you would have the Qumran community and Essenes, and there were Jewish monastic groups known in modern times for their perseverance of the Dead Sea Scrolls. That's where John the Baptist came out of, right? That community. And then the Nazarenes were an early Jewish Christian sect in the first century. So Jesus would encounter different religious groups, right? This is not new. And during his time, we would see that. So let's take a look now at the first seven verses of Mark chapter chapter 7. And here we'll see what the Pharisees thought about tradition. So the Bible tells us that when the Pharisees gathered to him with some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem, they saw some of his disciples ate with hands that were defiled, that was unwashed. Right? So they saw some of them eating with the hands because they were not Jews. Right? And they were following Jesus. Right? And there are many other traditions who did not observe washing hands such as washing of cups and pots and things like that. And the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, why do your disciples not walk according to what? According to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands. They did not say, why don't they wash their hands according to the scriptures? No, it had nothing to do with the word of God. They says, why do they not do it according to the traditions of the Father, right? And he said to them, well, did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites? Jesus is going to call them hypocrites. As it is written, the people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. The commandments of men. Friends, I will just interject here. Many times in churches, people are stuck in tradition to the detriment of their church. And they will see the church dying, and they will not change. Right? That has happened to many of our churches, that things change. None of us here is still using a phone. Maybe there are a few. Maybe there's an unusual number. But none of us is using a phone that's going, tring, tring. You remember we used to use that. Am I doing it right? Tring, you know, you had to get the number. Tring. None of us is using that. Right? Because we had to change. And then we got the little flip phone, and that went out the door. Except for some older people still have it. That's okay. And now we have got the iPhone and the this and you know what? And all of that, and pretty soon we're gonna have something else. I'll be too old to get that one, whatever it's gonna be. Right? But it changes. And the same thing has to happen to the church. We have to change. Because the traditions are not about the relationship with Jesus Christ. The tradition sometimes is just a way to lead us into relationship. But we cannot what? Worship the tradition. When I first came here 9 years ago, I'm starting my 9th year, I said to this church, and I talked to Susan about it and several other folks, we need to get things online. We need to get screens up. I didn't know it was going to be COVID-19 that would push us to this. But I knew from history and church growth and watching all the movements in churches that we needed to get some things automated online. Amen? So that people can watch it because the world is changing. Not that we're going to be big as and we're trying to compete with the mega churches that have all the money, but we needed to make it available so that this could happen. I also talked about getting the flat screens here so it wouldn't, and I would hear all this, oh, we're not going to because of stained glass and people have to look at it. And I said, things can be done without blocking the stained glass. We live in Long Island. There's a lot of bright people here who know to figure this out. Right? That was 9 years ago. If we had just started addressing it then, we would have been ahead. Right? When we kind of make these things that we think are important hold us back, we lose out. Right? And now here we are when COVID came and people had to quarantine. What happened? Churches closed. And we were running like crazy, not us so much, because I was already using my phone to do the Bible study, and so I was ahead, a little bit ahead. And we're running to say, folks are not coming back the way they are to the local church. We have to understand that we must do whatever we can to get the Word of God into people's homes, in their hearts, and in the local church. And that if we do it well in the local church, it doesn't take away from the church, right? We can't get changing a door, a front door, becomes a fight in the church, right? You can't make it. It is not about the Word of God. You cannot make changing a door that give more visibility or and safety, forget visibility, safety, and make sense, becomes, make us be divided. We're missing the point, right? Oh, it got to be looking this way. Nothing looks this way anymore. And so Jesus here wants to talk about the holiness comes from the heart. You can get to the next slide, the final slide. Holiness comes from the heart. The Pharisees believed that traditions were more than just good ideas or cherished beliefs. They believed their traditions were of equal authority with scriptures. The people who believe that it was that their traditions are as important as scriptures, as the word of God. It is not. And so we see Jesus calling them hypocrites. Right? You know how they operated. We're not going into this scripture today, but when Jesus tried to heal a man on the Sabbath, because a man who was sick, they were arguing that it was wrong, right? And Jesus says, you'd rather him die because it's a Sabbath and it'll be healing. And he said, if you have a mule and the mule fell in a ravine, wouldn't you go get him? Tradition holding us bound. So during the time of Jesus, part of being a Pharisee was memorizing those oral traditions verbatim and passing it down faithfully. And to the Pharisees, these traditions were just as authoritative as the written law. It all began over the issue of washing hands. Washing hands. And when you read about this in the New Testament, it has nothing whatsoever to do with hygiene. Do you know that washing our hands had nothing to do with hygiene in the Bible? Interestingly, it wasn't until around the time of the Civil War that people equated dirty hands with germs. Before that, nobody thought about that. Do you know many of us used to eat dirt? I ate dirt. You know what I'm saying? My mother put me out in the yard to play, and I'm sure dirt got into my mouth. I'm from the Caribbean. There's dirt in the yard. I don't know about America. Maybe it's all concrete and nice when they put you in the backyard. But I sure we had dirt, right? Not because my mother was feeding me dirt, God rest her soul. But you know, children, you drop your candy and there's dirt on it and you pick it up, you put it in your mouth, right? And now, you know, we can't touch anything now. The issue with the Pharisees was a symbolic ritual that demonstrated adherence to the Torah law. Now, friends, Jesus wants us to what? To change. Jesus does not say you get rid of all the traditions. What he's saying, don't let it keep you bound. Don't let it. There are people in churches that I've been to overseas that when they're coming to the altar, they take off their shoes. That is a tradition of their culture. There's nothing wrong with it. But if I were there and I come up in the altar with my shoe on because I don't know, doesn't mean that God is not going to listen to me. Amen? Amen? It doesn't mean, right? I bow when I bow to the altar and when I'm in service, and I bow when I leave as a respect to the Spirit of God being here. Doesn't mean that if you don't do it, God is not with you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Right? Don't be bound by tradition. Let it enhance your worship. So I'm hoping that when someone sees me bow, they understand it is a reverence to the Spirit of God at this moment. Don't let you bound. If you forget and you don't do it, when I forget and I don't do it, we're not displaced by God, because God is looking at our heart. Tradition, 4 points. Tradition can foster external religion, right? You could have a tradition that keeps you so bound that what happens? That you people now start leaving your churches and your congregation and get other religions because you kept them so bound they have no freedom in worship. Tradition can supersede scripture, right? Tradition must never supersede scripture. Scripture is the word of God, the inspired word of God. And tradition change. Tradition can go away, but the word of God, what? Will live forever. Jesus said, heaven and earth may pass away, but my word will live forever.
Amen.
Right? The gates of hell cannot prevail over God's word. Right? Some of the traditions that we used to do in the Methodist church, no longer. Now, I am a Methodist, and Church of England first, and Methodist, and I don't like when I go to Methodist church or walked away from the liturgy you know, like having changing the departments, and sometimes you could see the pastor don't know. Or I am big on the seasons of the liturgical season. I am big on the parliament colors. I like that. Why? Because I think it enhances learning. I can say to someone, it is green now because it's a season of our ordinary times, right? That we're in the life of Jesus. So the traditions, I can use those to what? To enhance the service, right? But we can't let it bound us. Tradition can twist theological truth. Tradition can, right? Jesus makes it clear in verses 14 and 15. Again, Jesus called the crowd to him and says, "Listen to me, everyone, and understand this," Jesus said. "Listen to me, please. Nothing outside a man or a woman can make them unclean by going into them. Nothing can make you unclean. We may put something in our mouth that gives us a bad stomach and we got to pass it out, but it doesn't make your heart unclean." That's what he's saying. "Rather, it is what comes out of a man or woman that makes them unclean. The words that we speak, the hate that comes out of our heart." And he said, and then he looks down at verses 21. He says, From within, out of men's heart, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, and all of that. All these evils come from inside and make a person unclean. All of those, all the evil in the world, the hatred, the sin in the world, comes out of a heart that is what? Corrupt, and make us unclean. Amen?
Amen.
And he says, tradition, and my fourth point, tradition can stifle effective ministry. Tradition can stifle effective ministry. We can be so bound with tradition that we don't change. Like, for example, young people nowadays, they came with the dance, right? The dance, liturgical dance. And you want them to dress lovely. You don't want them to show their body parts, friends, you know. So you want them to dress lovely, you know what I mean. I've seen some churches, sometimes the girls need to, you know, get a little bit looser, you know what I'm saying. But besides that, you want to what? Allow the young people, because they want to do what? Praise the Lord with the dance. No, you can't, if they're really willing and they're taking, you can't say to them, "Well, in 1960 we didn't do that. In 1960 we couldn't move, we sat our seat and we didn't even say clap, we didn't do anything." Right? But they were doing other things in 1960. People forget, and 65 and all of that, they were doing other things. Right? Charles Wesley, when he wrote some of his songs, they were to bar tunes. Right, like, "What a fellowship, what a peace divine," bar tune, "leaning on the ebb." He would go and hear the modern tunes, right? This was not Church of England music. No, it wasn't. But he was getting the masses, right? And he would be playing it so that he would get the masses in. The miners, the poor people. He wanted to get them in. Lead, and he would be playing it with a, right? And they would say that they went and they got these tunes that was not tradition. But John Wesley knew that the heart of a person was more important than the tradition of the church.
Amen.
Right? And that's why he walked away. He was always a Church of England. He never left the Church of England, but he walked out so that he could save all the unsaved who were not allowed to come in. They were not allowed to come into the church. Amen? Because they were not of that class. And so we have to be very careful, friends. We must have a listening ear, right? And say, okay, what can we do? If it sits right, it sits right. Last night, the Spanish group at the service downstairs, they were going to be outside, but the rain was falling, and it was beautiful. I was watching on the camera, and they had the dance of the scarves. We had it out at our barbecue, in the park, and they sang, and the music was a little bit different, but it was beautiful because it's in what? their culture, but they were worshiping God. So James says, hearing and doing the word, right? That we must be hearers and doers of the word, right? We must be hearers and doers. But those who look into the perfect law, he says, no, for if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in a mirror. For they look at themselves and on going away immediately forget what they are like. He says, when you look at yourself in a mirror and you forget what you are like, you are not what? Hearing God's word. We must be hearers and doers. Doers of God's word. So friends, I pray today that we remember that Jesus says, holiness comes from the inside out, not from the outside in. We see some people, and I wanna make this, some of us sing and we raise our hands up, doesn't mean that we're any holier than the person who don't do that. I am quite clear about that, right? It is part of my expression of my worship of God that when I sing, some songs I sing and I'm just praising the Lord, I wanna hold my hand up. Somebody else wants to sing and hear the song and they don't do that. Fine with them. Just don't try to stop me from praising God the way I want to praise God, as long as I'm not interrupting you. Right? And you got to praise God the way you want to praise God. Amen, friends?
Amen.
That's what we have to do. Allow everybody to worship God the way they want to. Let us be freed up from our tradition. Let us be unbound from our tradition. And remember, we're not talking about lack of respect in the sanctuary. We're not talking about bringing food in the sanctuary and eating it and getting dirty. Because when we love God, and when it comes from our heart, we will never do anything to destroy God's church. When we love God with all of our heart, and all of our mind, and all of our soul, we will never do anything to disrupt and destroy the things of God. Amen?
Amen?
Because we love God. And so, friends, let us worship God in spirit and in truth.
Amen.
God bless you this day. Amen.